This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
And we are live here on Pet Life Radio and Instagram. I'm doing my waving. Hello, Steph. And so, you know the drill. Here for you, here for your pets. If you want to get a hold of me, well, if you're on Instagram, just type away and I will see your questions and we'll answer them. Thank you, Beth. Bethany. My sister is now Bethany, and I grew up with her as Beth. And we always called her Beth. So anyway, it's so hard for me to say Bethany, but I'm doing my best. Anyway, 877-385-8882. Once again, 877-385-8882. That's the way to get a hold of me. And would love to hear your questions. And in the meantime, a couple of things I want to talk about. First of all, I don't know about next Sunday. I'm going to be at the AVMA, the American Veterinary Medical Association. I'll be in Washington, D.C., and I don't know what the setup is, if I'm going to be able to get away to do the show. Of course, I'm going to try. I will let you know, but I'll be working the booth. I'm chief veterinary advisor for Scribble Vet. And so we are obviously going to be at the vet show. And Scribble Vet is great, by the way. It's AI medical scribe. So I walk into a room with my laptop or my iPad, and I go ahead and I start talking. Everything we talk about, both the client's history, why the client is there, what the problem is, what the pet is doing, everything is there. And it turns it into a full, what we call a SOAP, subjective, objective assessment and plan. So all medical records now are usually called SOAPed. So it creates the SOAP based on all the data, what belongs in what category. And it is amazing because with me seeing 30 to 40 plus patients a day, to be able to not have to go home with all these files, because I'm not the kind of guy that wants to be on a, I hate that. When you walk into a room and everything is now is on computer and the doctor is sitting there typing away while they're talking to you and they're looking at the pet and then, no. I want to be engaged with my client, with my patient. And most, I think the more astute practitioners do this stuff later. Well, then I have to go home and type up 30 files if I can remember everything. But now with the AI, with the Scribble Vet, it's great. So anyway, going to the trade show with them. So you'll know if I'm online, you're going to get the message. And those of you on Pet Life Radio, Mark will know also beforehand if I get away for that half hour to help you guys out. Secondly, I had while I'm waiting for some questions about things you would like, I'm doing a lot of waving, but I want more. So that yesterday I get a knock on the door from one of my neighbors whose dog is choking. They had some guests over and they were watching the dog. They gave him a bully stick. You know what those are. And all of a sudden, he starts choking, couldn't breathe, whatever. Turns out, it wasn't choking in the trachea. His airway was good. In fact, by the time I got to see him, tongue was pink, but you can see him trying to get this thing up. He was coughing up phlegm, and it was unbelievable. So the bully stick was actually stuck in his esophagus. It was too big to get through into the stomach. And everything, every time he tried to eat anything, it was coming right back up. Finally, they took him to emergency. They tried using an endoscope, to push it into the stomach, which they couldn't. There was no way. Were they able to get the grabbers and pulled it out? I'm telling you, it was this long and it was so thick. How this little dachshund got this thing down in his throat is beyond me. But lesson learned, which is one of the things I'm going to talk about today. In fact, we may as well talk about it right now. Let me see. There was another question that came up. I'm waving. Was recently diagnosed with brain nasal tumor and see oncologist tomorrow. So those could be pretty tough. The nasal adenocarcinomas, it could be back at the cribriform plate. We don't know exactly where it is yet. I would imagine they did an MRI or at least a CT. MRI is actually a little better. But we'll have to see what the oncologist says. Those usually are very difficult to surgically remove, just by basis of you have to where they are. So they are more responsive to radiation. Usually they're not going to be that responsive to chemo, but there may be some that would help because it's more of a carcinoma, and those do better with radiation therapy. It'll be interesting to know. Do I think common collars work? I'm planning to use it for my cats since they moved to another home. Well, let's put it this way. They're not going to hurt. They may. There are a couple of different brands out there. They're usually using pheromones. Feel-Away, for example, has a collar. The dog DAP for dogs, dog appeasing pheromone. So these things seem to work fairly well. You can also get spray. So if you want to keep that calmness, when you get to the new place, spray it or you can get these diffusers that you plug into the wall and they emit that pheromone, just automatically throughout the day. So the room, especially the room he's in the most, well, you can get a couple of them, actually just put them around the house. So, but I would recommend that. Also for the actual move itself, if you're worried about that, there's some medications that you can do. Talk to your veterinarian. That might be beneficial. But if it's just sort of that calmness, then I would definitely think about the Feel-Away spray or collar. Hey, JB and Hardwick mom, hello. Yes, correct, MRI. Oh, so they got the MRI already. Okay, so that's sort of what you'll need to do is make the diagnosis. From Steph, and Steph is a cat person. Feel-Away works really well. Yes, it does. So that's what I would also highly recommend. And you can get it in a spray, you can get it in a diffuser, you can get it on a collar. So there are many different ways to deliver it, but it does, it's very effective. So we talked about the safe toys. That's what I wanted to talk about. Here's the thing. There's so many different toys on the market. And there are obviously, every dog is different. Here's things to definitely avoid, in my opinion. Number one, bully sticks. I never liked them from the get-go, and this is exactly why I didn't like them, because you can swallow a big hunk, they break them down, they're potentially very dangerous. Next up, I'm not a big fan of rawhide. Now, there are not a lot of new products out there that, like Smartbone, that are, they look raw, like rawhide, they feel like rawhide, they are chewable like rawhide, but they're fully digestible. And they only break up into smaller pieces. You can't tear a big hunk. So when you get those big knuckle bones with the rawhide on both sides and they're all rawhide, I'm not a fan. Now, if you are diligent and you know your dog and you watch them while they're eating, when it gets too soft, just throw it away and give them a new one. The beauty of those are that they're really cheap. So you can get 5 or 10 of them for the price of a really good, long-lasting bone. But as I said, I'm not a fan. Love Nylabone and Gumabone. I love Calm. But the thing with those, especially the Nylabone, some dogs, little dogs, are gnaw on it so much that according to the veterinary dentists, they might be too hard and they can crack teeth, break teeth. Again, you got to know your dog. If your dog ever did that chewing, my dogs don't. And I have 5 and they do very well on those bones. But there are some dogs that don't do so well. Poultry bones, too soft. Very dangerous. They'll splinter. They can cause problem. They can cut an esophagus. They're not poisonous, but they can do a lot of damage. So I would avoid chicken and turkey bones for sure. And now meat bones like steak bones or the big knuckle hollow bones, the marrow bones, I am not a fan. As far as the big round bones, the knuckle bones, they got stuck on their teeth and it's a problem. It can get on, but it's not easy to get off. So I would avoid those. Marrow, if there's a lot of marrow in it, that's too fattening. It could cause pancreatitis. And they're also very, very hard. They will crack teeth. So again, you want to avoid those. Arlo, what would be the supplement you reckon now that I have a tumor and on prednisone and kept? Well, anything that is going to, I also believe in antioxidants. The tumors, I'm okay with homeopathy, holistic, naturopathy, but I'm not, when it comes to tumors, I'm sorry, I'm a big fan of Western. And it's going to be radiation, it's going to be chemo, nutritional supplements. I mean, look, not going to hurt. if you anything you could do to keep the body now, the newest way that we're treating tumors now is immunotherapy. And that is training the body to attack its own cancer. That I'm a big fan of. And one of the things that I may have mentioned this in shows past, but one of my mentors from Davis was double boarded in internal medicine and oncology, medical oncology. Also, for just for fun, went to Stanford after all this, you know, these accolades and degrees behind her name. She got a PhD in comparative oncology at Stanford. So we're talking not a dummy. And one of the things I saw when I saw her at a conference after her PhD, and I said, Barbara Kitchell, I said, Barb, so what's your takeaway? She goes, what I learned the most is how little we know about cancer. It is unbelievable. It is such a hot area right now. So I am, you know, again, supplements will help. Any supplements that can, you know, build and support a healthy immune system, I would recommend. But what I tell it, you should get a certain supplement that's going to kill the tumor or shrink the tumor. No, I just don't think we're there yet. Let's go on. Cat snippers. Hello, cat snippers. No-hide. There's another one. See that? It's called no-hide as opposed to rawhide. And it's made by with sweet potato. Okay, happy Sunday. Male, female dogs are fixed. Female fixed at 8 months, now 3.5. Male fixed at 6 years, now 7.5. Why is female dog trying so hard to mouth me? Well, first of all, if he's a year and a half, yeah, he should have no testosterone. Some of this behavior is learned, okay? And also, it is not always. Is why do some female dogs mount male dogs? Well, they're females. Because it's a show of dominance. So sometimes if there's any question about who's the boss, sometimes the dominant will try to mount the subordinate. So it's possible that. Now, another question, it's a good one. Can mounting behavior from the time that this dog was, I mean, you didn't neuter him until 6 years. I mean, that's kind of old. So maybe some of this now is a learned behavior. Knowing what it was like before he was neutered, you know, you're taking testicles in, but you're not touching the brain. So maybe that whatever sensation he experienced when he was intact and mounting is something he liked. So now, just because he's neutered, he still thinks it's going to give him that joy. So it could be some of this is a learned behavior as well. But behaviorally, it's dominance. It could be learned. It most likely isn't sexual anymore, but the actual behavior part of it, of the mounting, the physical mounting on top of the female, that might be something that is, in a sense, sexual for him. Okay. All day. Milk bones. So milk bone, that's different. Now, milk bones is another story. Safety-wise, no problem. But if you look at the caloric content of a milk bone, I remember when we were kids, we used to get our dogs as big milk bones. Bethany, you remember, I'm sure. And I mean, our older sister, Jill, ate them just to see what it tastes like. So anyway, those I think, what it is for a medium-sized dog, 4 or 5 of those a day will satisfy all their caloric needs. So when you have a dog that you're feeding regularly, and you want to give him 2 or 3 of those a day as treats in different parts of the day, you're basically increasing his daily ration by 30%. You know, that could be dangerous. So if you do that every day, it's not like cheating and having a hot fudge sundae, you know, once every several months when you go out to dinner, that's okay. But if you're going to do it every day, you need to hit the gym. So one of the things about the milk bones is they are good, they're safe, dogs really like them, but just be careful reading the caloric and calorie of each bone, whether it's the little small ones or the bigger ones, and know how much more you're adding to your dog's daily caloric intake. Okay, let's see, Emma and Doctor, can you tell right her name, please? Are we talking about Dr. Barbara Kitchell? Let me know if that's who you want. Yes, it's Barbara Kitchell, K-I-T-C-H-E-L-L. And I don't know where she's practicing now. I think she's at one of the, she's a big wig at one of the VCAs in the cancer I'm not, haven't seen her in a while. So maybe I'm going to reach out to her and find out what she's doing, and I'll share it with you. But she's a whiz. All right. He's a rescue. You got him at 6 years. Well, before you got him, he must have been having a lot of fun. Because if he's doing this as a memory, then he derived some pleasure from all this. And he thinks maybe it could happen again. It won't, but maybe he thinks it can. All right. First of all, I just realized, boy, time flies when I'm having a good time. 9:17, it's time for a midway break at Pet Life Radio. So stay here on Instagram, Pet Life. Mark, take it away for the commercials. And we'll be back after these short words. Don't go away.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
And we are back here live on Pet Life Radio's Ask the Vets with Dr. Jeff. Is a request from Josie Ricardo. If it is a request, then let me know. A lot of times people hit that accidentally. Continue with the laxer cats. Well, first of all, which cat is this? Is it one of the ones that I saw? And was it Bob? Let me know. Hey, Steve. So, so you want to get a stool softener. You want to get something. You can do lactulose, sucralfate. That's more for coating. Lactulose, DSS, diacetyl sulfosodium succinate. Say that 10 times fast. Or just fiber. Add some psyllium powder. Add some cooked oatmeal, canned pumpkin, anything like that. So those can help hopefully loosen things up. How is Bob doing otherwise? I remember he wasn't eating well. He was vomiting. What's going on with that? Is that, you know, we had him on the fluids. I didn't think he was blocked. So maybe things, whatever it was, are starting to move. So just kind of let me know how the rest of him is doing. The pooping will come. We may need to give him an enema to sketch the things moving. I'll be in this week, all week, to get him moving. But I'm more concerned about the rest of him. I noticed that certain brands of food, usually the more expensive kibbles, make my dogs poo less. Do higher quality dogs may? It all depends. The answer is going to be in the fillers, and the filler is usually fiber. So higher fiber diets, like, for example, for weight loss, they're using fiber to keep things moving and less fat. And that also is a very digestible type of calories, depending on where they are. So it adds bulk to what they're eating, so they don't have to eat as much. They feel satiated by eating less food than they were before, whatever they were eating before. So the more expensive foods are probably less fiber. So they are the amount of stool that is left behind. Because remember, much of the stool is fiber. Dogs can't digest fiber. They don't have they have amylase, they have lipase, okay? But when it comes to the high fiber foods, they aren't able to digest them well. So it comes out as bulk in the stool. And so that is probably why these more expensive foods have produced less stool. But if the dog likes it as much and still is able to defecate easily and the stool isn't too firm, then yeah, it's up to you. Go for it. Much better, very little food. Okay. Well, as long as he's eating, keep him eating. All right. Poover, 5 days. Okay. So we might, you know, one of the reasons he might not be eating now is because he's so blocked up. So maybe we should get him in, give him an enema, clean him out, and let's see how he does. All right. So another thing I wanted to talk about, and I it was on my list of things to do, and that is just some, you know, it's summertime. I know a lot of you are traveling. If you're traveling with your pets, there's some things you need to know. If you're if you're leaving your pets behind, also some things you need to know. So some basics are all about planning and specifics. What I mean by that is if you're traveling by car, and you have a destination, make sure your pets are going to be allowed at this destination. A lot of hotels, we've talked about this before, say, yes, we are pet friendly. They advertise pet friendly. But when you show up with your 80-pound dog, oh, we're not that pet friendly. So make sure you know if there are restrictions, what they are. And if you're going to go to family, make sure the family knows. It might be a surprise. Surprise them with you. Don't surprise them with your pet. It may not work out so well. Now, if you never want to be invited again, bring your pet. That might do it. So as far as foods, you want to make sure that you are trying to keep everything. Traveling is a stress for them, and it's excitement. And with stress and excitement, we know there's diarrhea. So you want to make sure to try as much as you can normalized. So same food, start with the same water that you're going to from home, and then every time you stop, you give some more water from you give them water, which is they're used to, and you dilute it, but small amounts at a time with that local water until you get to your destination. It's still going to be at least 50% of your home water. All the paperwork, you need vaccine history, you want a picture, you want to make sure they're microchipped, ID tags. You know, a dog gets lost in a strange area, you know, that's a problem. So you got to keep, you know, double leased, opening and getting out of the car, plane, travel, air travel. Again, now there are some breeds during the summer, a lot of the brachycephalic pushed in face breeds, they won't allow on a plane because of overheating. A lot of dogs like pit bulls aren't allowed on planes, period. So it's really, again, sometimes traveling. And oh, by the way, if you're going long distance, and I know that someone going to Europe for a week, I don't know. First of all, the health certificate process is very difficult, expensive. Some countries are very expensive because you have to do a lot. Australia, almost impossible. Don't even bother. Leave your dog home. I don't care if it's for a year. It's going to take you a year to get him in anyway. So it is crazy difficult. And you need two health certificates from different one each from different veterinarians. Because after you do everything, you sign all the papers, then they have to get the same thing from a second veterinarian. I'm telling you, you're going to spend 6 to 8 months in preparation. So I could tell you, not worth it. Others need, like Japan, Hawaii, they need rabies titers. Israel, rabies titers. The European Union, now that England was part of the Union, during that time, they had to do away with the titers. But now they've separated themselves again, but it's too late. So no rabies titers for any of Europe anymore. So just need to talk to your veterinarian, need to talk to people that know. Because a lot of veterinarians, if you're not certified, okay, to be able to do health certificates, by the USDA APHIS websites, then you have to go through this training, and then you have to go through licensing every 3 years. So I do it every 3 years. Is it fun? No, but we have a lot of people that travel, and I'm saying fewer and fewer veterinarians are doing this, and then you have to go to some place that do, and then they don't know your vet. It's crazy. So I always ask if your vet is licensed to do the USDA, APHIS, international and national health certificates, intercontinental as well. Okay. What else? So the food, pictures, always have pictures of your pet. Medication, always expect the unexpected. Meaning, if you're going away for 10 days, don't bring 10 days worth of meds with you. Bring 20, 15 at least. Because if you get stuck, your animal needs medication. It's very important to make sure you have. Better to have too much and not need it than too little and not have it. Because you know. So if you need it and not have it, that's a problem. If you have it, but you didn't need it, that's okay. You bring it home with you. Okay. What else? I'm just thinking of all the problems that people, my clients have had. Because the unexpected, when they were traveling, I'm trying to share it with you so you can learn from their mistakes. And I think that was it. I just also, when you're getting animals in and out of a car on the road, be really careful. Have the leash in your hand when you open the door already. Don't open the back door if they're in the back or out of their crate and you still have the hatchback open. They can make a beeline. It's dangerous, and for many reasons. If you're on the road, you're worried about getting hit by a car. If you need to remain control of your pet at all times when you're traveling. Very, very important. Okay, and I think that's it. We covered everything already that I had notes on, so that's good. Okay. Oh, I did a really cool surgery the other day. It was a dog that had a mass on its spleen, and it was actually my associate's patient, and he doesn't do these surgeries, so he gave it to me. And it was interesting. It was a fairly significant tumor, but it just was oozing a little. So the dog had it didn't really have, when you see bleeding in the belly because of a ruptured spleen, because of a tumor, and you put the ultrasound probe, you could see fluid, and you tap a stick and needle in, you see its blood, that is 100% number one. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. You see blood in a belly, you got to go in. Can't wait. You can't play it conservatively. If you can do it that day, do it that day, all right? Don't let's say, oh, God, well, it could be something small, or I see us bleeding in the belly is emergency surgery. And if you don't do it right away and it continues to bleed, they can bleed out. Oftentimes with splenic tumors, they do bleed out. Why? Because you never know when the tumor is going to rupture. If it ruptures in the middle of the night and you're asleep and the dog is sleeping, they don't wake up. So anyway, we took this spleen out. Fortunately, it was a very sort of isolated tumor on the spleen, had just been maybe just ruptured a day or two before because there was a little blood in there, but we're going to obviously wait and see, but it was one of the easier surgeries that we had to do as far as splenectomies. I have another one coming where the only reason we're removing it is because of caution. The owner, it's a large spleen, been identified on x-ray, uniform consistency. It's just probably a large spleen, but she is very nervous about it. Apparently, she's had a dog in the past that died from a splenic tumor, splenic rupture. So we're taking it off as a prophylactic procedure, which is fine. I mean, we don't really need the spleen anymore. It's a reservoir of extra cells, blood cells, but they come from other places. So the bone marrow does a great job of making red cells. So anyway, we're going to remove that spleen. And oh, I don't have tomorrow a cystotomy of multiple stones in a bladder. And we counted, I don't know, dog came in with urinating freely, but after the urination, it would lift its leg and just squirt little pee, squirt, squirt, squirt. And so my thought is that's exactly what happens when dogs have a transitional cell carcinoma. It's the cancer of the bladder. So I did an ultrasound looking for TCC. Guess what? I didn't find it, but I found a couple of stones. So we took an x-ray, and this has a cluster of, 8 to 10 stones. They look like what we call calcium oxalate. The two major stones we see are oxalate and struvite. Struvite is a triple phosphate, magnesium ammonium phosphate, and the oxalate stones, they look like little spicules. They're like starbursts. Anyway, that's what it looked like on x-ray, at least. So that's what I'm expecting to find. So anyway, that's coming in tomorrow too. So I will report back on the surgeries. I try to get some of these on so you can see them. They're really fascinating, and I enjoy doing them. So we'll let you know. My last bladder surgery, doing great. And remember the dog with the stuffed baby toy, doing amazingly well as well. So, God, when you do those things and you see the success, that's kind of what makes it all worth it. Because it's, you know that these hands actually saved either a lot of harm or sometimes even a life. So, That's why I keep doing it. It's fun, fun, fun for me. All right. Anyway, see you here possibly next week. If not, it'll be for sure the week after that. And on Pet Life Radio's Ask the Vet with Dr. Jeff and on Instagram Live. And but if you have any questions during the week or 2 weeks, don't wait. And remember, your questions give me great things to talk about on the shows, because I promise you, whatever issue you're having or were having and you want some more information, there are many, many of you out there that are doing the same, having the same issues and would like some answers. And also for those of you out there that are here, tell your friends that they want some free advice, information, just spend a half hour with us on Sunday morning. They should start following me, Worbs_DVM. And of course, Dr. Jeff, Pet Life Radio. And we'll see you again in one or for sure 2 weeks. Have a great time. Bye.
Let's Talk Pets. Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.